Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll lower that. It's good to see you all here, and it's good to hear the young ones. I'm thankful you're here, and I'm thankful you brought the children. In Acts 17:31, we read, God has set a day that He will judge all the world with fairness by the man He chose long ago. And God has proved this to everyone by raising that man from the dead. Last week we looked at Paul as he talked about the grace of being granted repentance unto life. God had called all men everywhere to repent. But there is something that we need to know more about, something that God has ordained. God will judge the world. The Almighty, the All-Knowing, and the All-Loving God has appointed a day of judgment where He plans to judge all of mankind. When we look at our own judicial system, sometimes we wonder. Just recently, I was reading about a man who served somewhere between 12 and 15 years. The whole time he said he didn't do it. And today, through DNA, lo and behold, he didn't. And they let him go after serving almost 12 to 15 years in prison. And this is not something strange. This has happened a lot recently. Innocent people being let out of jail through DNA research now. But also we know of people who deserve to be in jail and who are out walking the streets freely. And we ask sometimes, where is the justice? Yes, there are criminals in jail. Thank goodness. But the system is not perfect. It is not always fair. And we wonder about that. But the Bible lets us know, one day there will be justice for all. Having preached the true God to the Athenians, Paul assured them that at one time God had winked at their ignorance, the ignorance of not knowing God. And so he had no plan outside of Israel to let people know that idolatry, the worship of idols, was wrong and something God did not like. And he once winked at that ignorance, but today, he says, with the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, God no longer winks at this ignorance. He expects and He wants mankind to worship Him and to know Him. And he says today there is no more excuses, because God will judge the world. This is why he says God has called men to repentance, because the days of ignorance are gone. And it was God himself who has set aside a time for judgment. We should learn something from Paul here. Paul is considered the great advocate of the grace of God. And yet, many people, many modern religious Christian people question this. Why would Paul do something like that? Why would he not call people to repentance based upon the grace of God, based upon the love of God? Why did he use the thought of judgment to bring people to repentance? Many modern ministers don't even preach about the judgment day anymore. But it cannot be avoided. God has commanded mankind everywhere to repent. Not because the marvelous grace of God is going to reckon us all saved. not because the great love of God will forgive us, but because He has set aside a day of judgment. That reminds me of the days of what we call the fire and brimstone preachers. But we shouldn't be surprised that Paul, the preacher of grace, has preached judgment as the reason for repentance. The book of Romans is what we consider the book of the unboundless grace of God. Well, let's read something out of the book of Romans. This is Romans chapter 2, and I'm going to read the verses 5 to 11. But you are stubborn and refuse to change. So you are making your own punishment even greater on the day He shows His anger. On that day, everyone will see God's right judgments. God will reward or punish every person for what that person has done. Some people, by always continuing to do good, live for God's glory, for honor, and for life that has no end. God will give them life forever. But other people are selfish. They refuse to follow truth and instead follow evil. God will give them His punishment and anger. He will give trouble and suffering to everyone who does evil, to the Jew first, and also to those who are not Jews. But He will give glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first, and also to those who are not Jews. For God judges all people in the same way. The Holy Spirit has let us know God has set aside a day of judgment. It's a part of the gospel plan of salvation. It will happen. In Hebrews 9:27, the Holy Spirit says, man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. In Hebrews 10:30-31 we read, for we know Him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge His people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A fearful thing, He says. No presentation of the gospel, the good news of God, would be complete without a reference to the judgment day. The day when God said He would judge the world in fairness, as we read here in Acts 17, verse 31. I'm reminded of this statement of an incident in the Old Testament. You know this out of the Old Testament. God had decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But because Lot lived there, God had gone to Abraham to let him know what He was going to do. And you remember this incident? Abraham, standing up for Sodom, said, God, if there are 50 righteous people in Sodom, would You destroy it? And God said, no. Well, we know the story. 40, 30, 20, 10. 10 righteous people. And God said, if there are 10 righteous people in Sodom, I won't destroy it. But notice, righteous people. Righteous meaning people who live right according to the will of God. And He said, no, He wouldn't. And here's the important part, verse 25 of chapter 18 of Genesis. Abraham says, far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? We approach the final judgment of God with confidence, because we know He will judge with fairness. He will judge right. Not like modern day judges that sometimes let criminals go because the police made a mistake in their procedure, or put the innocent in jail because he didn't have a good lawyer. God will judge things correctly, and his judgment will be just. For God knows no bias. He knows no prejudice. He will not discriminate on the day of judgment. There will be no favoritism, no partisanship with God. God is known by his justice. It's hard for us to conceive of absolute justice. We don't know it. But God will judge absolutely correct. Paul wrote the Christians in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 this. He said, "As for myself, I do not care if I am judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. I know of no wrong I have done, but this does not make me right before the Lord. The Lord is the one who will judge me." Three important things are found here. First, in the final judgment of the world, we will not be found judging one another. And I say, thank God. We judge our enemies pretty harshly, don't we? Sometimes we even judge our friends harshly. I'm thankful that I do not rely upon judgment from you or from anyone else that is a person, but from God Himself. Secondly, we will not be judging ourselves. Paul said, "I don't see anything wrong that I've done." But he says, but that doesn't count. God is what counts. What does God say? And sometimes we're pretty light on our own sins, aren't we? "Oh, that was just a little sin. What Charlie does is much worse." I won't mention what Charlie does. I don't even know. But sometimes we are very critical, and sometimes we are most hard upon ourselves. Thank goodness that we will not be called to judge ourselves. That will be done by God Himself. And third, the one who will judge us is the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul didn't name Him by name, but he did mention that this is the one that God rose from the dead. And because of that resurrection, He has proven that this is the man who will judge us. God is going to judge the world by Jesus Christ, whom He has ordained and confirmed through the resurrection. In John chapter 5, verse 22, we read, "In fact, the Father judges no one, but He has given the Son power to do all the judging." Or in verse 26 and 27, "Life comes from the Father Himself, and He has allowed the Son to have life in Himself as well. And the Father has given the Son the power to judge, because He is the Son of Man." The first time Jesus came upon the earth, we are taught He came to seek and save the lost. He came to save. But we are taught the second time that He will come. And He'll only come one more time. He has come not to save, but to do what? To judge. In Matthew 25, verse 31 through 34, we read, "The Son of Man will come again in His great glory with all His angels. He will be king and sit on His great throne." So when He comes, He's coming as king. He will sit on His throne, and we are taught when this happens, all the nations of the world will gather before Him. And He will separate them into two groups, as a shepherd separates sheep and goats. The Son of Man will put the sheep on the right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to the people on His right, "Come, my Father has given you His blessing. Receive the kingdom God has prepared for you since the world was made." Then the king will say to those on His left, "Go away from me, you will be punished. Go into the fire that burns forever, that was prepared for the devil and his angels. These people will go off to be punished forever, but the good people will go to live forever. What we read here is the Lord teaching Himself. He is teaching that there will be a universal judgment for all mankind. He teaches that when the Son of Man comes, there will be judgment. It has not happened yet, but it will. When the Son of Man comes, all nations, it says, will be gathered before Him. Jews and Gentiles, men and women, all nationalities, all languages. But it will not only be a universal judgment. The Bible teaches it will be a personal judgment. We cannot say, I lived in a Christian nation my entire life. All my country did was good for others. Won't work. We can't say, my family is Christian. My mother and father were the best Christians I knew. Won't work. We can't even claim that we are members of a good church who do good and have done good, who taught the gospel. And I was a member there for 35 years. Won't work. Because the judgment is personal. It is based on the deeds we did in our life. The Holy Spirit wants us to know these things. In Romans 14, 11 and 12, because it is written in the Scriptures, as surely as I live, says the Lord, everyone will bow before me. Everyone will say, I am God. So each of us will have to answer to God. Each of us. It doesn't matter what your parents did. It doesn't matter what your church does. It doesn't matter what your country does. God says, what did you do? It's personal. The message Paul preached in Athens is well taken. The judgment day is coming. That God will judge the world by Jesus is one of the best parts of the gospel. It is certain justice because it is based upon the character of God. God is love. God is full of grace. But the Bible teaches us also that God is righteous. God hates evil. God punishes those who do wrong. Judgment day is coming. And I'm thankful that Jesus is judge. Jesus lived as a man. He knows what it's like to be a human being. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to have weak human flesh. But He also is God, having the love and the grace of God and the mercy of God. But He also has the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. Judgment is coming. Judgment will be impartial, but it will be thorough. It will be universal, and it will be personal. It will be careful, and it will be just. It will be final, and it will be irrevocable because there is no higher authority, no higher court. When judgment day is past, the time of repentance is gone. There is one other question about judgment that we need to answer. On what basis will mankind be judged? It's interesting. In Matthew 7:19, Jesus talked about bearing fruit. And He said, you will know the tree by the fruit it bears. And it's interesting. That's the same passage where God says not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven. He linked bearing fruit with making it to heaven. Undeniable. And maybe you remember a parable Jesus told. A vineyard owner saw a very promising tree, an olive tree. And he went to it. There was no fruit on it. And he said, pull this tree up by the roots and burn it. And the vineyard keeper says, let me work on it one more year. And God said, okay, you plant, you work on it, you fertilize it, you trim it, you take good care of it for one more year. But if it does not bear fruit at the end of that year, rip it up by its roots and burn it. Now what happens if you rip a plant up by its roots? It's gone. It's dead. And if there's no roots, it's not coming back. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bearing fruit is necessary. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, we read, then I saw a great white throne, and the one who was sitting on it. Earth and sky ran away from him and disappeared. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were open, and the book of life was open. The dead were judged by what they had done, which was written in the books. The sea gave up its dead and who were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. Each person was judged by what he had done. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And anyone's name who is not found written in the book of life was thrown into the fire, the lake of fire. God judged all men by what they had done in their life on earth. Yes, we're saved by grace. Grace is a gift of God. But believe it or not, God put conditions upon His grace. First one is we have to have faith in Jesus Christ. But He also calls us to repentance. Some people say repentance is a work and it's nothing to do with grace. Wrong. If God says repentance is unto salvation, who am I to say it is not? God called us to repent. What is repentance? It's a turning around and going back to God. It is a stop doing what I was doing before. If the doctor says, stop doing this or you will die, most people, not all, most people would stop. I know cases where that didn't happen. God said, if you want my grace, repent. Because repentance is unto salvation. But there are other things that we could read about that God says we need to be doing. We need to bear fruit. Fruit of righteousness. That means doing things right. Will we ever, by our doing, earn heaven? Absolutely not. Because we're going to fail at times. We're not going to be successful at times. This is where the grace of God comes into play. I don't know how, and we've looked at this, but we've looked at several places in the Bible. One is in 1 Peter, where God said, or Peter there, listed things that we as Christians need to grow in. And the key thing was at the very beginning. He said, strive to the best of your ability to grow in this manner. And what was the end? If you do this, then salvation is yours. Because nothing can keep you from heaven. The point was striving to the best of your ability. Not perfection. If God wanted perfection from us, He would have made it that we could live perfectly. But only Jesus, as Charlie pointed out today in class, only Jesus lived the perfect life. Only Jesus lived in the flesh and didn't sin. That's why he had to be the perfect sacrifice for us. God judged all mankind by what they had done in their life on earth. What's written about you in the book of life? Or I should say, there was more than one book. What was written about you in that book of deeds? One day, you're going to stand before the throne with all the nations, all the languages out there, and God is going to read what you did in your life. What is He going to read? Is it something you're going to be ashamed of on that day? I don't know if God has PowerPoint. So put it up there in bright letters for everybody to see. But the books were opened. And the dead were judged by what they had done, which was written in the books. God doesn't literally have a book up there. But He knows our life, our works, our fruit. Have you washed away your sins in baptism? Are you living a godly life, doing the works that God has given the saints? I hear books being opened. Let me read two verses real quick. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped Him, as you have helped His people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what is promised. And James 2, 17 through 19. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Are you ready for the judgment day? If not, I would encourage you to get ready. Let us help you as you come forward, as we stand and sing.